Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. What a wonderful, wonderful story Earl Thomas has provided with provided us. Now that you know what, from now on, for the rest of his, that's just Earl Thomas now. That's his Najee Davenport moment.
Yeah, that's too bad. That guy's an all-time great, and now what he's known for is getting an orgy with his brother, and then having a wife come in and like, I got something for all you hoes. That's not really what you want.
No, that is a good T-shirt though. I would want one of those. I got something for all you hoes.
Yeah, it is a good T-shirt.
But you do have to put, you know, Nina Thomas under it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because otherwise all the hoes think that you got something for them, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't really want to have anything for a bunch of hoes. Not really.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't need that. I don't need that in my life.
Right.
My daughter's already passing judgment every single day. It does. I don't need any.
No. If your daughter saw you wearing that, yeah.
I don't need any other problem. So I didn't really get a comment on this too much. You just kind of went over it in a series of different other things have to do with sports. Major League Baseball is going through their return to play proposal, and what it looks like right now is spring training in June. And the season began early July. Could be as early as July 1st. The problem with that is you don't want to set hard, fast deadlines unless you get a little bit closer, because you just don't know what's going to happen. A resurge, because we'll have, you know, with things opening, you're going to see the numbers surge. So how everyone handles it and what happens with those surges will dictate a lot of what's going to take place here in the very near future. But it is good news. It's very good news for baseball when they're talking about that. Now, playing, not playing, there's been talk about having five different hub cities where you could play the games, and people could post up, teams could post up in hotels and be quarantined. Or there's talk of playing your games in your home cities, having games in home cities, which the players like the home stadium idea, because they'd be able to be around their families or around their homes or whatever the case may be. We always say families, but there's plenty of players who don't have families. So, you know, it's around their homes, whatever the case may be. John, ultimately, I think what's going to be interesting is this is where you have to have a strong commissioner say, this is what's going to be the deal. We understand that some of you want this, some of you don't want this, but right now is when you need leadership, and that leadership is going to be responsible for saying, okay, I know that some of you want to play home games, but we're not playing home games. Or I know some of you want to play at hub cities, but this is what we're doing. And it includes, I know some of you don't want to play, and if you don't, we'll make exceptions for you to try to take care of you at least to a degree financially, but we cannot, you know, pay you everything if you're not playing. Whatever the case may be, that's fine. But Major League Baseball, I do believe, John, I do believe they're going to come back, and I think the Korean Baseball Organization, I need to see how the KT Wiz did today, but the KBO, just playing those games and having Carl Ravitch and some of those guys on the call of the game that they had, I think that's a big deal, because it gives Major League Baseball their test case on how does it work with another baseball organization? What does it look like? Do people wear masks in the dugout? What does it look like when there's no fans in the stadium? Do we believe that we could get fans in the stadium? And I think this is all giving baseball an opportunity to kind of draw up their own game plan in terms of coming back. So I think this is great news. And I really do think we're going to see a Bundesliga. Soccer is coming back in Germany May 15th. We'll see how that goes as well. But getting sports organizations to come back does give you an idea of how feasible this is. And if things go well, and more importantly, if somebody does test positive and things still go well because they're able to, you know, two or three players end up getting quarantined, whatever the case may be, and you can still get through this, then that gives you hope that an entire season can take place in football.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah. Well, the question was asked earlier today on the Golic and Wingo show. Is the NFL wrong for putting out a schedule? Because it could very well be misleading. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that are saying, oh, good, well, this is going to be the date, and I'm going to make my plans at this, and blah, 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 and no games, and no fans, or whatever the case may be. You know, should the NFL at this time actually be tonight? Be releasing their schedule? And the answer is yes, absolutely. This is what we are aiming for. This is what, by August, I think this is, we're going to be living in a different world. By August, we're going to be, this is going to be a totally different world. It already has been. Look, we're already, a month ago, if you'd have said, oh, May 15th, we're going to be seeing some leagues starting up, we'd have said, you're crazy. That's just crazy. But there's advances every day and all of the stuff that is going on. I believe we are going to have a schedule. I do think that there will be fans in the stands this year in the NFL. I think it's going to be, they're going to be separated. I think that we're going to have to do a good job of making sure that people are go about it intelligently. But I think that there might be up to 20,000 fans in stands come this NFL football season. Maybe not to begin with. They might start it with none. But by October and November, we will definitely have fans in the stands, and it's the right thing to do. Let's go. Let's get started. Let's go, and we'll see how it works out. Now, one thing that wasn't all that encouraging yesterday was the Georgia governor coming out and saying, "Boy, do I regret now opening up the state." That it really, really was a bad mistake on my part.
What a dummy! What a dummy that guy was to be so brazen. Just listen to people who are. I'm so tired of being in a society where people think they know more than smart people. I know my role. I know my place. I read about what smart people think. Mm. I'm not trying to be the smart guy. I'm trying to find out what smart people think. And I'm like, huh, this guy seems to be smart. This guy seems to have a little bit of data on in his – I'm a numbers guy, so obviously that makes sense, and I'm looking for data. But I tend to say this Fauci guy – seems like he's got a background in this. I'm just curious as to what he says. Let me see what he says.
When he says that we'll have games, actually, we'll have games without fans.
When Daryl Morey tells me something about three-point shooting and the numbers, I'm like, huh, I'm going to go ahead and listen to Daryl Morey. I feel like he's pretty smart on this thing. Mm-hmm. If Bill O'Brien tells me, that's all we could get for him, I don't listen to him. I don't listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You got to prove.
Governor. He's the Georgia governor.
Well, I'm just telling you, there's some guys that I say, I 100% know that they know more than I do about this, so I'm listening to them. Mm-hmm. The Georgia governor the whole time was like, man, what? We're just going to kiss. Y'all do what you need to do.
Get out there.
Just get out there and mix it up a little bit.
I immediately regret this decision.
What's that from?
That's from Anchorman. Hey, when he jumped into the pit with the bear.
Oh, that's right.
He jumped in the pit with the bear, and he goes, I immediately regret this decision.
This is the second time a movie scene has come up in my mind with Nina Thomas and Earl Thomas. All I could think of was Karen holding the gun on Henry, where Henry wakes up, and Karen's got the gun right in his face. Karen, whoa, what are you doing, Karen? Easy, easy. And then, of course, this one, I immediately regret this decision.
All right, 815 ESPN 97.5. You want to get in? Come on, 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. Big ups to San Francisco. Apparently, if you're in San Francisco and you're homeless, they are giving you free drugs and alcohol. Homeless people isolated. How about this? They've got city-rented hotels where they have, the, you know, San Francisco, Lance, you know as well, and I've seen it. The San Francisco homeless problem is off this through the roof. Mm-hmm. And so apparently they have 43 homeless people with addictions that they have given alcohol and weed to. And they say that they've got 270 homeless people who have either tested positive for the coronavirus or are highly susceptible to infection. They have no place to stay. So they've given them hotel rooms, and the city's paying for their hotel stays during the pandemic.
Mm, okay.
And somehow they have to – so to keep them off the streets
quarantine,
and
yeah.
looking for – and staying quarantined, they're bringing them alcohol and weed. I think that's – I'm all for this. Why don't we do this with – why is it just the homeless get the weed, the free weed and the alcohol? What about the rest of us?
You think that's a winning model?
I do. Okay. I mean, you know.
Hold on, let me write this down. John says make Houston more like San Francisco.
Yes. Oh, really? Oh, you know, did you ever see how much it costs? Have you ever seen the cost of real estate in San Francisco? Thanks. Good night.
Yeah, okay. Don't live there. You know, Eric Layden told me that people move. He told me about their homeless issue in California, that in L.A. specifically, and he said one of the things that is happening, because there is ordinances where you can just post up and live wherever you need to live on the street, like especially if you're in a car, you have about a week and you have to move when the street sweepers come. He said people will pack their cars up and move to L.A. And I'm like, dude, what? That doesn't. None of this makes sense. Why would they move from Indianapolis to L.A.? He goes, the weather? Because mm-hmm. it's L.A.? It's awesome. And I said, yeah, I get that, but I don't feel like living in a car is awesome. He goes, well, I don't know that everyone – he goes, it's a different type of person that's moving to L.A. in a packed car. But he said, but if you're going to be homeless in Indianapolis yeah. or you're going to be homeless in L.A.
– no-brainer.
He said, it's a no-brainer. He said, plus you got public – he goes, because – L.A. will at least try to make accommodations for you. So he said you go sleep in the streets. He said in your car. He said you go to public bathrooms by the beaches and stuff like that. He goes, I couldn't believe. I said, well, obviously no one's going to roll up to Houston like, you know what I'm going to do? Go live in a car in Houston during the summer. Said no one ever. That's
right.
Not even remotely possible. You will
and
die.
No, but we got plenty of homeless in the summer here. They just got to stay under, you know, undercover, under bridges or whatnot. I mean, that there's plenty. And, by the way, I don't know if you've seen in the winter by Minute Maid Park, we're filling up. We're filling up. This is also a destination. This is also a homeless destination. But we go about it differently sometimes. There was a under a bridge, the bridge with the exit at Fannin. On 59, they had underneath that bridge, there was, it looked like, oh my goodness, it just looked like a giant homeless resort.
Yeah.
And instead of that happening, what they did was they put up a giant fence and kicked everybody out. And so no one was able to get in there. Instead of it turning into a homeless resort, they just said, you got to go. You can't stay here.
About a year ago, there was kind of a tent city that was popping up at underneath the 59 at Fountain View. And so I just went. It was probably closer to June, maybe. It was a little warm. So I went to I had some extra money on me, and I just went and bought I don't know. It's like 20 hamburgers, and it was at a Burger King. Like 20 hamburgers and got 20 waters. It may have been more hamburgers. I don't know. And just spent the money I had, got that, and I went back there and parked, and I got out, and I was like, you know, I'm going to hand this out. But it is, I mean, now there were people who were like, oh, thanks so much, and let me help you do that, and they were, you know, who were. I didn't feel unsafe necessarily, but you could see there were people who were completely out of it, like completely out of it. There were others, you know, that obviously had some mental issues that are going to have some, you know, some problems. But they were all gathered there and got them fed and got the waters sent out and everything like that and got out of there. But I know that there was gunplay there that they ended up scattering the whole thing. Once there was some gunplay introduced, they're like, the police came like, all right, we're done with this. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and disperse. And now it's starting to pop back up.
No.
But it's a little bit of a, you know, I drove through Skid Row in L.A. That was the most devastating thing that I've personally seen. As I'm driving through, it is like a completely different world downtown L.A. I mean, it is like something that is it is post-apocalyptic. You're driving through. There are no rules. The stoplights don't really matter. And you just think, man, this is – and you see how long it goes for blocks and blocks and blocks. It's a tent city that lasts like 40 – I think it's 37 or 40 blocks. You've never seen anything like it. It's truly
– Well, my question to you, though, is did you bring fries with those burgers? Because I would have been like, hey,
I was going to. I was going to.
But where's the fries?
Yeah, I ended up just going burgers.
Did – no fries?
Nope.
I mean, honestly – how are you going to have a burger with no fries?
I just felt like burgers made it easier.
Very disappointing. Very disappointing.
We've
got a couple of callers about Earl Thomas. Well, I wouldn't bring burgers without fries, I'll tell you that. Let's get Underrated Mess. He wants to talk about Earl Thomas. What do you say, Underrated Mess?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I just wanted to, for a veteran in the league, this is clearly a rookie mistake. With his Snapchat location on. However, I can empathize with Earl a little bit. Kind of battle tested. I was creeping one night, thought I was slick, kind of making the girl crazy, making her question me and accusing me. And then she pulls up my GPS locations, and I panicked, and I immediately threw my phone. So I think Freaky would agree, have no social media if you're going to do that. Turn your GPS off or leave it in a central location, clearly. And also, OB.
Hold on. What do you mean you threw your phone? Threw it where?
I panicked.
Did you leave it wherever you threw it?
So I thought it was slick, you know. She was going through my phone. I'm cool, you know. I deleted all my messages, all that good stuff. I didn't realize that you could go through GPS and look at your locations. So she was clever than me. And I just threw it.
I let the
aftermath happen, but I just threw it. But there was still no evidence.
You just threw your phone away.
I just threw it. I just chunked it. I panicked.
Well, did you go back and get it?
I mean, at a later time, after you know, after the dust clears.
I think the best part about this was he said, "Leave it in an essential location."
Yes.
That's
if you don't want to turn your GPS off, you know, because she might question that. Leave it at the homie's house or whatever, and then go about your business.
Yeah. So, but I got a question though. Well, how did she see? So he's taking video. Listen, he's videotaping him with the girl because she saw them on Snapchat.
So if you don't turn your Snapchat location off.
I'm not talking about location. She said she saw them on Snapchat.
Then she probably had his password on Snapchat and just logged into his account.
But why is he putting it on there in the first place?
Why are you putting
underrated
it
mess?
On Snapchat if you're with your side
on
piece?
Snapchat?
Yeah.
Exactly. Rookie mistake for a veteran in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you did say.
But clearly this is the first time that this has happened. Clearly.
No, definitely not.
No, he and Ron Washington doing blow at 50 years old. This is clearly the first time.
I would say this, too. He's obviously never seen a thin line between in love and hate because he definitely wouldn't have done this.
No, he's got to. I mean, he's got to make better choices than this during a pandemic. And yeah, we'll see how it goes. So you, I've got just so many questions for you, actually, but because I'm just curious about how, you know what it sounds like? Like when people used to take SIM cards out of the phones in the movies and break them and then break the phones or throw their phones in the trash. That's what I'm thinking of with you, that you took, that underrated mess took his phone and like immediately cracked it in half and threw it in the trash can or put it on a semi truck so it would take off headed to Missouri and his wife's like, where are you? I'm headed north. Knowing damn well he's not.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Something out of Ozark.
So Ozark or Better Call Saul. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. All right. 828 ESPN 97.5. Time for me. We got more calls about Earl. We'll take on the other side. Right now, though, I got to talk about Champion and being a champion and Champion Energy. If you're looking for the best way to save money every single month during these times, man, money's so, it's so important. Why throw it away? Why throw it away on your electric bill? I mean, that's just silly to me. And it's your home or your business. And your bottom line is your business right now. You want it to be you want it to be as high as possible, that bottom line. Well, not if you're paying a bunch for your electricity at your business. Well, how about changing over to Champion Energy and saving money? I'm telling you, you will. If your electricity bill is getting you down at home or at work, Champion .energy/1560. That's champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Did you see this article? And we will get your call in here. Did you see this article, Lance? A Time for Perspective. If you were born in the year 1900... on your 14th birthday, World War I started, and it lasts through your 18th birthday. 22 million people died. Later that year, the Spanish flu hits and lasts until your 20th birthday. 50 million people die. Then, on your 29th birthday, the Great Depression begins. If you made a dollar a day, the unemployment hit 25%, which we've passed right now at 33. The world GDP drops 27%. That lasts until you're 38 years old. And if you made a dollar a day during that time, you were, that was a lot. When you turn 39, World War II hits, and 75 million people die in that war. 5 million more with the Korean War when you're 50, and then Cuban Missile Crisis, where you think the world is going to end. Vietnam War for 20 years, 4 more million people die. So far, we've lost thousands of people in this event. Thousands. If you were born in 1900, you lived a rough life for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Great Depression was no joke. The Spanish flu was no joke.
No,
I mean, that was 50 million people died.
That's 50 million in America, or is it?
I think worldwide. Worldwide.
Yeah. Because I was saying some of those numbers, a lot of those numbers are, they're taking global numbers.
Yeah.
Like World War II and things like that.
Yeah. I mean,
Korean War, 5 million Americans did not die in the Korean War.
No. Not 5 million.
You just lived during that time.
You lived during the time where millions.
But you were impacted by the Great Depression.
Oh, and the Spanish flu here?
The Spanish flu, you were impacted by a lot of stuff.
Oh, my gosh. The whole country was under grip and didn't have the technology you have now. So it would, this is a matter of months where we're talking about. We might have that was a matter of years of the Spanish flu. And that's not even to mention smallpox and all the other, and polio and every other thing that hit here. So you were born in 1900. You lived a rough life. We're doing pretty good. I know it's a rough time for a lot of people. And I'm not downplaying it. But this is I mean, I don't think it's even close to what those people. And
especially, do you know that?
And they did it without air conditioning, by the way.
By the way, the guy that just told us he threw his phone and he's catting around on his girl. You're dead front and center on his avatar of his Twitter account.
It's
like
what?
You.
Me?
It's a picture of you and him and a friend, apparently. Or it could be his brother. One thing I've found out today is there are some brothers who are very, very close. That's something that me and my brother tend to just like argue about sports through social media. Apparently, brothers do other things too. I didn't know this.
Brothers do things together? Me and my brother never did stuff together like that. Like Earl and Seth Thomas. No.
But Earl and Seth are like one of them's like, which way you go?
Let's do some stuff.
Let's do some stuff together. I got an idea. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're in the picture of his avatar. Just look up the picture. He tweeted at us and he said,
he did
the same name that he went by at Underrated Mess on Twitter.
Oh, I got him. Okay.
Yeah.
What are we doing hanging out there?
I don't know what y'all are doing, but he says, I like how this is great. He goes, I like how Earl Thomas just said, these things happen. Please pray for us. Like, well, bro, that's not what you get prayed for. No one's praying for you because, like, how does that prayer sound? God, first of all, let me say I want to ask you to help our scientists and doctors and leaders to make wise decisions so that we can end the coronavirus. We pray for the people who are sick or who have lost their lives, family members who no longer who are struggling right now with the loss of family members or those who are ill or anxiety. We pray for you to please protect the first responders and all of the nurses and doctors and hospital workers out there. And also for Earl Thomas. He was caught in bed with he and his brother with multiple women, and his wife pulled a gun on him. There was one in the chamber. Lord, please look out for the Thomases. All the coronavirus stuff, too, that I just talked about, please do that. But then also, Lord, please bless Earl Thomas and his wife. Let them come together and heal properly. I don't feel like that's going to – I don't know. I just don't feel like it sounds the same. I would feel wrong doing that in this. I don't feel like that gets my prayers. I just think Earl needs to maybe just, like, figure this one out on his own.
Don't you think it would be more effective if Mahdi did it, not you?
Yeah, she's not praying for Earl. I don't think she's praying for Earl. I'm going to be honest with you. She'll pray for Nina Brown. I mean, Nina Thomas. But I don't know that Earl's getting her prayers. She's judgy.
Well, she's not going to judge. Wait a minute.
Under his eye.
Okay, guess who got arrested in this deal? Not Earl, not his brother.
That's why she's praying for Nina Thomas and the two girls that came with her.
Right.
How pissed would you be now? And you got me arrested, mother.
Right. No. And a restraining order. And
I mean, she's got to be like, how in the world did I get arrested off of this? Well, you did pull the gun. You did.
He gets away with everything. You know she's pissed.
She is gonna be so pissed, especially if she's a middle child, because they've already got a middle child syndrome. I think is a real thing, and she is gonna speak. You always get away with everything. How did Earl get away with this? Earl's like at his house, just like, well, I mean, I guess I'll just turn something on Apple TV, Apple Plus.
Is Steve still there? All right, let's get Steve in here. Hey, Steve.
What's going on, dudes?
What's up, Steve?
Well, first of all, let's don't confuse Earl Thomas with the great University of Texas Longhorn, hard-hitting Longhorn. Second of all, I got something for all these hoes. And the third thing is, how funny is it the fact that her name is Nina, and she came in there with the Nina, which is slang for an automatic pistol, as opposed to a Roscoe.
She had the 9mm Beretta ready, the Nina. Yep. Nina came with the Nina.
Nina's coming with the Nina.
Fully loaded. And
somebody
else said,
she got something for all you hoes.
She got something for all you hoes. She took out the clip, right? So she's got something for all you hoes. She took out the clip. Well, somebody else said, you know, Mika Grimes who is, she said, she's leaving the, yeah, Miko is leaving the clip in. She's not pulling the clip out. The clip stays in when Miko rolls up on Brent. Brent Grimes is, knows better than to pull that. You know who you're not going to see this story about? Brent Grimes. You know who I'm never going to see a story about doing that? Brent Grimes. Because he's not stupid to try something like that with Miko Grimes. Never, ever, ever. No one's going to do that with Miko Grimes. You don't want to be that guy.
Here are some of Seth Thomas's posts.
Oh,
my bro getting married today. Another fallen soldier. I'm a turn up a free agent, my bro, tonight, LOL. Gun tag teamer.
Well, that was from 2011, so I don't even know what that is.
And then when the women arrived at the house, they discovered Earl and Seth naked in bed with other women. That's in the police report. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, Seth Thomas.
Oh, Earl Thomas.
I got a feeling that Nina is going to have a rough time with Seth going forward here. I don't know. I think that the relationship might be strained between those in-laws.
So Earl in 2013, April 7, 2013, wrote, I like to be challenged and under the gun because as a competitor, it's important to me to respond and impact the situation in a positive way. And then somebody that has a picture of a woman taking a piece of paper going, okay, all right. Piece of paper. And it says, she was like, okay, all right. It's a, just a little gift that's out there. Man.
And then he tweeted, when was this? In 2013. Feels good to spend time with my little bro. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it feels real good because you're getting stuff done. You're doing stuff. You're doing stuff with your little bro.
Yeah, that's not the stuff you want to do with your little bro.
For those of you just waking up, Earl Thomas, caught in bed with his brother and women, and his wife held a gun to his head, and she's now in jail.
And she's in jail and her friends.
Yeah, she was chasing him around with a knife, too.
But we ask that you pray for Earl's, ask for your prayers, so please keep them in your thoughts.
Oh, that's right. It's his birthday today, too. Remember he said in the TMZ thing, it's not how I wanted to spend my birthday, but.
Nah, it's not how I want to spend my birthday either. I have my birthday. I'm like, I think I'm going to have a party at Riel. You know what Earl said?
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to do. It involves Airbnb.
No, I bet you anything, maybe it was his brother, like, hey, man, I got this great present for you. Just meet me at this Airbnb, and they're going to get down.
Yeah, Seth, because Seth was already a hater. You saw him as soon as Earl got married, how Seth was hating. Hating-ass little brother. That's how all of them are. You too, Mike. Hating-ass Mike. Only his is about sports stuff.
713-780-3776-842 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. John, Lance, and Tyler, come hang out with us if you want to get in here.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Man, the internet has some unbelievable things. Rex Chapman just tweeted out, Fatemi Hamani, an Iranian artist, she's paralyzed in 85% of her body, so she uses her right foot to draw lifelike portraits of famous footballers. And she's drawing one of Cristiano Ronaldo with her foot. And her hand is, she's, it's, listen, what people are unbelievable. People are really unbelievable.
I like pretty feet.
Well, yeah, you like pretty, I mean, I don't know that her feet are pretty, but they're very talented, I can tell you that. Very talented. She's unbelievable. How do you do that? Good Lord. I mean, if that was me, I'd just, like, I'm done. I'm not doing anything.
I know. These people with artistic talent,
yeah.
No idea.
Oh,
my
play,
stuff is so janky.
It's a pretty fun game. We got a game called Draw Some People. Draw Some, like, awesome people. Only Draw Some People. and you have to draw, and everybody draws something. Everybody gets a card, and you have to draw, and then everybody has to guess. And if you guess what somebody drew, then you get a point, and they get a point. Anyway, so that was a lot of fun. And you find how little artistic ability you have when you do this.
Yeah, I already knew.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And it's I draw the same kind of face every time. Every time I draw the same kind of face. And, you know, I found that my son has not zero, less than zero artistic ability. Less than zero. My brother, and I didn't get it either, but my brother is an artist.
Oh, literally. He is? He can do stuff?
Oh, my God. He was unbelievable when we were kids. And he just got burnt out by it, so he just stopped doing it. But we had paintings in our house. Etchings, and he's unbelievable. His whole classroom when he was in like fourth grade had his pictures all over it.
Tyler, do we know anybody at the station who's really artistically inclined in terms of like drawing, painting, stuff like that?
I do not believe so. Yeah. Maybe Brandon.
What about Trey? I would imagine Trey is.
Nah, I'm guessing not. I don't even know if Trey's there.
I don't think so. No. Have you seen his handwriting?
Yeah, it's highly unlikely Trey's got some art stuff jumping.
I just think like Trey looks like an artist to me. Like,
does he?
Yeah, and he sounds
just
like
look
an
like
artist.
Just somebody who is a savant about NASCAR, because that's what he seems like to me.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the real art. I don't think there's actual drawing.
I don't think there's creation on a piece of paper.
It just seems to me that Trey would be the one. Trey would be the person because what did it not surprise you when Trey started talking about NASCAR 1948 NASCAR winners?
No, I mean it surprised me at that time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That has nothing to do with his ability to draw and paint or stuff like that. No no ability. It one has nothing to do with the other. Point did I think, I bet this guy can create some really amazing stuff with his hands. Never did I say that.
No, I after I
you
heard
did,
him talking
I
about
I have no idea how that came about.
Yeah, no. Listen, nothing Trey does would surprise me anymore. Nothing.
And if you guys don't know who Trey is, then you're out on this whole conversation. But maybe I can bring you back in with this. Adam Silver in the NBA are set to have a players and all players conference call this Friday. It's the same day the league has permitted teams to reopen facilities. There is a rumor going around, John, that the NBA is looking to make sure that their facilities are spotless and that they have the ability to keep them completely contaminant-free after, you know, players and personnel are in the building, that they can completely sanitize it so that they can continue to have games in these locations, however they're going to do it. If that's the case, if that's the rumor that they're looking for that, and they're waiting for certain technology to get here from shipments. If that's the case, then the NBA could be planning their big return at some point for the playoffs. What I've heard is it may be playoffs. We'll see if they can get the whole season in. I mean, you know, at least part of the season in. But I think they want to get playoffs in. They want to get their playoffs in. They want to have a season completed. I think that's what they're shooting for. And my guess is that's what that Friday the meeting tomorrow is all about. If baseball is going to come back early July, we'll see if basketball can come back in June.
I think first and foremost, you get that 70 games in, so you get your television money, all your television money. Secondly, yes, you get your playoffs on. But I don't think you can just go and say, all right, everybody's going to play six more games and we're going to hit 70. Thanks. Now we're going to start the playoffs. Because if I'm a team, I got to have more than just I got to hit 70 games, because why would I, after months off, go back and play six games when I have zero chance? I'm already eliminated from the playoffs. As an organization, why would I want to do this?
Cheddar.
Yeah, well, I guess, but as a player and one of those teams, I'm going to risk injury Cheddar. after being off for all this time.
Paychecks.
How you want me to go?
It's always going to be about money. If it's about money every other time, why would this not be about money?
Yeah,
Well, your answer is money. There is no reason to want to. Why would you ever want to finish the season at all if your team sucks? You want to just get out of there as quickly as possible, but you got money to make. Now, the Rockets had planned to open their facility tomorrow, but reconsidered in collaboration with players and staff, as well as Greg Abbott's directive for gyms not to open until May 18th. So the Rockets are not opening tomorrow. They initially were going to, but they're not going to. Also, the L.A. Lakers and Dallas Mavericks, whose owner Mark Cuban said Wednesday, the team's facility, their inability, rather, to test asymptomatic players for the virus makes a return to facilities right now not worthwhile. So he's not doing it. Even though we can try and take all different kinds of precautions, it's just not worth it, particularly when our guys are staying in shape and they're going outside and shooting on outdoor hoops and working out in various ways, Cuban said. So I just don't think the risk is worth the reward.
Yeah. Well, here's something that's really interesting, is that 2/3 of New Yorkers hospitalized with coronavirus were admitted from their homes. 66% of the people were at home, which is shocking to us. The same survey found that 46% were unemployed, 37% retired. So
wait,
that
wait,
says
say
they're
this
not
again.
Working.
I don't understand what you...
They're not working. They're not traveling. These people were literally at home, and they came down with it. Just by maybe someone coming over or however, maybe going to the store, whatever the case may be, so that it's not really, you know, maybe it's not nearly as complicated as having all these people together. You can just get it. You know, at some point, you have come in contact. I saw estimates where at some point, months into this thing, almost everyone in the world will have come in contact with the coronavirus.
Well, the scary thing is if there's a heater or air conditioner and you live in a big building and there's a central location and that pushes it out, you know, that's it. That was the fear that they believe that happened in China in a restaurant, or maybe it was Japan in a restaurant, that there could have been something that was pushed through the system. So that's, you know, that's, I don't like thinking about that. I'm not a fan of thinking about that at all.
Mm-hmm. Only 17% of respondents said that they were employed. Fewer hospitalizations than feared were among frontline workers. And only 3% said they used public transportation. They thought that public transportation
what?
And being yeah.
None
yeah.
of this seems even remotely possible.
No, I know. And this is they he said Cuomo said this is it surprised all of us.
I found out my man Andrew Perloff, he's had it. I was talking to him the other day. He's doing radio now, but he's going to come on my podcast with Eric Layden. We're going to start an off-script back up next week. And he said, oh, I was talking to him about, you know, coming on since he can't do any radio. And he said, yeah. And I said, man, what's it like there? He goes, well, I had it. And I'm like, what? He goes, oh, yeah, I haven't talked about it anywhere, but he said, and it was really weird. Just having it was really, really strange. But he said in New York, you've either had it, you know a lot of people who have had it, or you have people who are living in absolute fear of getting it. He said those are the only three people there are in New York now. You've either had it, you know a lot of people who have had it, you either have it now, you have had it, you know a bunch of people have had it, or you have people who refuse to go anywhere, and they're basically hermits now because they don't want to get it. And he said, that's all New York. And a lot of people who go outside now are the ones who have had it. They're the ones you see out in the parks.
I was talking to AJ, and he said that our liaison for ESPN, their main hub radio guy, Jeff Martindale, he has it. So he's currently out of commission, basically, while... like, we're trying to get any kind of questions answered. Like, we can't really talk to all. I mean, I guess we can email back and forth, but he's kind of laying low for the time being.
Hmm. Well, he should, since he has, you know, COVID-19. Yeah, he should lay low. All right. Yeah, I know, Jeff. Wow, that's, wow. 7378033776 coming on up on the 9 o'clock hour here on ESPN 97.5. How about Chastang Ford video walk-arounds by request? They will show you the cars if you don't want to leave your home. They'll bring the car to you, and you can test drive it from your home. You can purchase online at ChastainFord.com. You can choose to pick it up in the store where it's safe and clean, or they'll deliver it, no dealer fees. They got 0% financing, 84 months, or up to 6 months with no payments available, and up to six, not or, and up to 6 months available. And listen, they are just spectacular. Nothing down, no payments for 6 months. They're trying to get you where you can manage this, okay? This can be manageable for you and your family. You, everybody in Houston has to have a vehicle, right? It's not New York where you don't need a car. Everybody here has to have a vehicle. And Chastain Ford wants it to, so that you can have the vehicle that you can afford right now during these tough times. We're all living in tough times. Chastain Ford wants to make it as easy as possible. So if you're looking for that new car, you need to trade in that older other one and get your payments down, ChastainFord.com, or you can go visit them. Like I said, it's safe and clean, and they sanitize, and it's unbelievable, all of the social distancing that they're practicing at Chastain Ford. It's at 610 and Homestead, not Hempstead, just two exits from 59, 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
Your work, home, and work from home sports station. ESPN 97.5.
Please stay home. Please stay home. It's okay to be alone.
Just do it.